I grew up in Southside, Virginia, on a tobacco farm. My father was nearly a half a century old when I came into the world. Some of the better things in life are unanticipated. And I caught the last train from Clarksville, and here I am. But I grew up in the South, and my parents used language that I've discovered not everybody understands. They would often talk about somebody being fretted. Somebody was fretting, or they were fretted. How many ever heard that expression? That's kind of like a Virginia word. People in Illinois don't know what that means, and people in Illinois need help anyhow. But this idea of fretted. Now, when somebody is fretted, that means they're bothered about the way they've been treated. They're irritated. They're agitated. They're disgruntled. They're upset. They're fretting. And the Bible talks about fretting. So look in Psalm chapter 37 in your Bible this morning. Psalm chapter 37. And just look there at verse 1. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. And as you find that, stand to your feet, and we're just going to read this first verse out loud together. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1, together, out loud, please. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't fret yourself, don't be upset, don't be agitated, don't be irritated because of evildoers. Right here in this psalm, the word wicked and evildoers is referenced 16 times. There was a lot of wicked doers. There's a lot of wicked doers now. And the Bible says, don't be upset. I want to ask you, do you resent unsaved people? Are you angry at them? Do you ever wish that some of these people would encounter some severe downfall? Well, the Bible says right here, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Look in verse 7. Verse 7, Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Say this out loud. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't fret yourself because of people advancing a wicked plan. Do you resent ungodly people who are better off financially than you are? The Bible says, don't fret yourself because of him who's prospering in his way. Now look in verse 8. Look at what it says. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Say this out loud. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Stop planning your retaliation. Stop planning your plan of revenge. Don't fret yourself in any wise to do evil. Now I want to ask you ladies a question here this morning. What are you mad about? What are you mad about? I know an evangelist. He was in a church for 5 weeks. They had an extended meeting. The night we went, he preached on the subject, what are you mad about? The night before we came, he preached the same sermon, what are you mad about? And in a 5-week period, he preached the same identical message 16 times in the same church. And the subject was, what are you mad about? Now, I don't have to tell you, it's easy to be mad about stuff. Are you upset with your spouse? And by the way, if your husband doesn't have Red Man chewing tobacco coming down both sides of his mouth, you ought to go ahead and thank God for that right there. That'd be a good place to start. Are you upset with your children? Well, some of you, your children have broken your heart. Are you mad about it? Are you mad at your parents, young people? Are you mad at spiritual leaders? How many people just get upset with all of this stuff, and there's reasons for it, but what are you mad about? Are you mad at your political leaders? That's hard not to be. What leaders? That'd be my question, but are you mad at your employer, your employees? Are you mad at your neighbor? Are you angry at the people who cheated you? Are you mad at the con people in the church of God who write bad contracts and break all of, are you angry about all this? You know, some people are angry at God. I was in Illinois in New York, and a lady from Illinois whose parents had been killed in a head-on accident by a drunk driver. Her pastor, father, and mother killed instantly. And she stood one night and she said, I've been struggling for 8 years. And she said, God finally showed me what's been wrong. She said, I've been mad at God for killing my mother and father 8 years ago. A lot of people are upset with God. A lot of people are angry with God. A lot of people are blaming God. What are you angry about here this morning? Now, the scripture says, fret not. And we're going to talk about the fret not formula. Lord, would you give us something from heaven? Lord, would you give us a sanitation of our souls and a healing of our minds? Father, would you make this word live to all of our hearts? We give you praise with anticipation in Christ's name. All God's ladies, say it as you're seated. Amen. Fret not. Three times. Fret not because of evildoers. Fret not because of the man who brings wicked plans to pass. And fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. The word fret means to glow. It means to blaze up. It's a slow boil. The word fret means to seethe with anger, to simmer, to fume, to be displeased. And I want to tell you, as we've heard a testimony already this morning, who has hurt you? Who has disappointed you? Who has betrayed you? Who has abandoned you? Who has wronged you? Are you reliving past injustices? I'm telling you that replaying betrayals and wrongs in your mind will cause you to seethe and to boil and to fret with anger. Now, the word fret means to glow. It means to glow, but it's not a holy glow. Oh, I'll tell you, it's not a holy glow at all. It means to burn and to simmer. Kind of like when you got the pot on the stove and the lid is half on and half off. And it's not a hard boil, but you got the temperature turned down, so it's kind of a slow boil. That's what fretting is. It's a slow boil. Now, fretting, simmering, glowing, stewing, steaming. You know, it's a natural human reaction to simmer and to roll things over in our mind, to try to sort things out. But the Bible tells us, fret not. This is a commandment of God. Fret not. Fret not three times. Why? Because fretting overwhelms our thinking. Fretting makes it impossible to worship. Fretting makes prayer an impossibility. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Can I tell you that fretting doesn't please God? Fretting violates the word of God. Fretting brings you no pleasure. Can anybody testify to that? And fretting makes you miserable to be with. Fretting makes me miserable to be with. Go ahead and say that. All right. So it makes you miserable, difficult to live with. Now, when you're simmering, when you're fretting, you're repeating those details over and over in your mind. It's a slow burn. Now, let's cut every cell phone off right now. Every lady, take your cell phone off. Either smash it on the ground or cut it off. Okay, just do that right now. And every time you come in, we'll take care of that. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Now, let me ask you this. Are you considering your options to retaliate? All right, somebody's done you wrong. And you're thinking about in your mind how you can pay them back. And does anybody here ever develop your own legal brief in your mind that when you run into the person who has wronged you, you have it down pat exactly what you're going to say and how you're going to say it? Does anybody do that kind of thing? Well, the Bible says, don't do that. Fret not. Now, fretting is a form of bitterness that will eat you alive. It destroys your peace, your contentment, your usefulness, your fruitfulness. Fretting and simmering and boiling can lead to an explosion on people who did you no wrong. If your wound is not healed, you're going to bleed on people who didn't cut you. I have a relative, and she was an old maid, and there's reasons for that. But she went out to the store. We had a widow woman storekeeper who ran a store, and for no reason whatsoever, she just exploded all over her and yelled at her and said all kinds of unseemly things. Why? Because she had been fretting on stuff, and she just boiled over on somebody that had nothing to do about it. Now, habitual fretting can become a way of life. Everybody frets on occasion, but you can't afford to indulge this sin. You got to get rid of it. So we need to obey this commandment, fret not. I want to give you the fret not formula. The fret not formula. How do you do this? Well, number one, you've got to get over your anger. The fret not formula. You've got to get over your anger. Look in verse 8. Look at what it says. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Anger is a natural human reaction that God put in our hearts. Being upset is not a sin, but responding with continued wrath and fretting is. Anger is an emotion that's got to be controlled. Be angry and sin not. We're doing home improvement, so I decided to save some money, right? So I'm going to paint. I'm going to paint. No wonder painters are all alcoholics. I would be an alcoholic too if I had to paint all of it. So I'm out on the front porch. I'm painting around the door, being very careful not to get it on the concrete and the stonework, just painting the wood part, you know. And how many are in favor of maintenance-free kind of stuff? But here I was painting. So I'm up on the ladder, and all of a sudden, the bucket of paint falls off the platform on the ladder, hits the concrete on the porch, splashes up on the house. The paint bucket ended up in the front yard with paint all over the yard. The ladder wound up in the front yard. It kind of just levitated through the air miraculously. Somehow it was in the yard. And I'm sitting there, you know, seething and angry and mad and saying a few things and thinking worse things than I was saying. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right here? Now look, be angry and sin not. All right, I was upset. I was just upset. My wife came out. She didn't say anything, which was good. And so here I'm cleaning up this paint, you know, just thank God for goof off. And there I was just, you know, cleaning up this mess. Now, you can control your anger. The point being, you can get over it. Be angry and sin not. And let it be a passing thing rather than a remaining thing. Now, you may be throwing a fit in your home. You ever known a lady to throw a fit? You ever known a man to throw a fit? Your husband ever dropped the paint? You ever dropped the paint? And you're just throwing a fit, and you know, you're throwing the thing out in your heart. And all of a sudden, a visitor shows up. Maybe it's the pastor. You have an instantaneous change of emotion. Oh, pastor. Thank God you're here. Come on in. We're just ready to have devotions and prayer. Come on, come on. what a hypocrite. You know, you can control your anger. Now, here's what I want you to get. That Christians can control their anger. Say that out loud. Christians can control their anger. I can control my anger. Say that out loud. I can control my anger. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. You can't stay in this state. The fool utters all his mind. I mean, some things you ought not to even say, even though you're thinking it, don't say it. Because when you blow a gasket, you're going to say stuff that you can't take back. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you mad about? What are you angry about? Who's got you bent out of shape? Swallowing angry words before you say them is a lot better than having to eat them afterwards. People who swallow their words never ask for second helpings. And if you bite your tongue on occasion, you'll be glad you did. Now, here's cease from anger. How do you do this? Change your focus, change your feelings. Change your focus, change your feelings. You have to make a conscious decision to stop churning this stuff over in your mind. Because when anger gets the best of you, the worst part of you comes out. You ever go and try to get something done nowadays, and the person you're talking to cannot even speak English, and you're speaking Southern, and they can't understand what you're saying, and they got as much competence as a telephone pole. I mean, do you ever deal with this kind of stuff? And do you ever get on the telephone dealing with an airline reservationist? That's always fun. And I've been known to just say a few things. And then I remember on several occasions I've had to say, ma'am, excuse me, pardon me, hold it. Ma'am, I had no right to talk to you the way I just spoke to you. I want to tell you that I am sorry for the way I just spoke with you. It's not your fault that your employer is crazy. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for unleashing that unholy barrage on you. Now the Bible says what? Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Entertaining anger gives place to the devil. Now look, when you do that, it starts out with a toehold. It can lead to a foothold. If it's not checked, it becomes a stronghold. And if you don't watch it, you're in a stranglehold. Perennially angry people are not pleasant people. I've never seen so many angry political women in all my life, and men as well. But they are so full of vitriol and anger and hatred that they just take everybody out. They have nothing good to say about anybody. I want to tell you, God's people are not to be like that. We got no right to act like that. We're bought with a price, for crying out loud. Quit talking about your hurt to other people. If you want to get something out of your mind, get it out of your mouth. Quit rehearsing your wrongs. Quit rehearsing your hurts. Quit talking about all this stuff. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, the way to cease from anger is to admit you're angry. Admit you're mad. Lord, I've been hurt. Lord, I've been wronged. Lord, I've been upset. Be honest about it. Confess your sin to God. Admit you're mad. Quit praying, Lord, help me not to be angry. It's too late for help. You don't need any help. What you need is forgiveness. Lord, I'm upset. Lord, I'm bent out of shape. Lord, the wire's wrapped around the axle here, and I have just been in a state that is just wrong. God, forgive me. I admit it. I acknowledge it. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me for my anger. Forsake your wrath. You got to admit it. You say, well, how do you get clean from sin? I'll give you a quick recovery on most things. And here it is. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. He that covers his sins, he that conceals and hides his sin, shall not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes will have mercy. If you want to get cleansed, here's the way you get back right with God. Admit it. He that confesses his sins, admit it, and forsakes, quit it, shall have mercy, forget it. And I want to tell you something. We've got to learn the way back. So here you are painting your porch. The bucket spills all over on the ground. The ladder's laying in the yard. There's paint everywhere. And you've thought some things and spoke some things. And, you know, you're not seething at this point. You are boiling. Lord, I'm upset about a trivial thing. God, forgive me for being so upset about something that is totally inconsequential in the large scheme of things. God, I admit I've been upset. I admit I threw the ladder. I admit, God, that I've been wrong. Lord, cleanse me. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Say that out loud. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. And then get up and walk on. Ask God to refill you with the Spirit of God and get up and go on. You don't have to lay around in this for 100 days. And quit looking at Oprah channel and all that. Just quit all that and being angry about everything. Just quit all that. And for crying out loud, please don't look at Fox News all the time. I mean, you will have an ulcer and you'll have to increase your medications. So if you want to get something out of your mind, quit talking about it and put the Word of God in your mind. Staying mad is unhealthy. It's unproductive. It will raise your blood pressure. It doesn't solve the problem. You don't have to stay mad. Now, as we've heard already, you're not responsible for the injustices that are inflicted upon you, but you're totally responsible for how you respond to those injustices. And the Bible says, cease from anger. Point one. Point two on the fret not formula. Commit your way to God. Look in verse 5. Commit your way to God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. That word commit means to take that incident and roll that burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Roll your burden on the Lord and he will deliver you. Now, we were having our house reshingled. Jamie Tuck, Trinity Construction, he brought in about 10 or 11 Mexican people. How many remember when Americans put the shingles on their own house? It's been a long time. Heard about a guy one time had his wife up on the house doing some repairs, and his neighbor came over and said, man, what in the world are you doing? You got your wife up on the roof. He said, well, I held a ladder for her. But anyway, they came over to my house and they ripped off the shingles on my house and our warehouse. And by 2:30, they had put the new ones on. It was amazing. Now, they had this crane that they would take the shingles with the crane and lift them up there. But in the old days, when Americans worked, the guy would put a bundle of shingles on his shoulder, climb up the ladder, hand the bundle off to the guy on the roof. He would take it to the pinnacle and put it down. That's the best illustration I can come to for what it means to roll your burden on the Lord. Just take that burden, hand it off. It's no longer your responsibility. How many of you know it's easy to hand the burden off, but it's hard not to take it back? Now, that should be practical here. So you hand your burden off to the Lord. Now, can I tell you that fretting chokes the life of God out of your soul? And listen, shouldering burdens that you need to give to God will rob you of joy, rob you of sleep, rob you of energy. The thief comes to kill and destroy, and fretting, inward anger, is a thief. It's an unnecessary burden that will rob you. Remember in Samuel how that Saul was trying to kill David? Boy, Saul was a mess, wasn't he? He was wrong. He was jealous. He was enraged. He tried to kill David with a javelin. Remember this? He threw the thing and tried to kill him. And David refused to come against the Lord's anointed. Amazing. So David played his harp for King Saul. And David soothed Saul's mind. David did right even though he had been wronged. You got to roll your burden. You got to hand your burden off to God. Let God settle the case. Don't you try to sort it all out. Commit your way to the Lord. Point three on the fret not formula is trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Verse 5, look at it. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. What does it mean to trust God? That's an easy slogan. What does that mean? Well, to trust means to put your confidence in God. It means to put your confidence in God. Faith is confidence in God. Unbelief is confidence in something other than God. Faith is confidence in God. Unbelief is confidence in anything other than God. Now, look, you got to trust the Lord. Once you've attempted to get justice, which is virtually impossible in this country, once you've tried to get justice and can't, you got to hand your case over to the Lord. Because the judge of the earth can sort this thing out. It's no longer your responsibility to mete out vengeance and revenge. Once you have done everything in your power to try to get things sorted out and you can't do it, then you got to hand it over to the Lord. And there's a great verse that'll help you. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Boy, in the early days, I used to preach like a wild man. And they wanted you to wear your suit coat all the time. That must be a Catholic or a Muslim thing. I don't know who came up with that ridiculous note. And neckties are of the devil. I can just tell you that right now. But I'd get all hot under the collar, you know. I'd come out of the pulpit. Man, my jacket was soaking wet. I was soaking wet. And I'd have to go to the dry cleaner. So I found one over here in Roanoke. And I took my stuff in. And I went back to pick it up. Paid for it. Got home. Tore through the cellophane. They had ripped holes in my trousers, holy breeches. They had ripped holes, and then they took that silk tie. It looked like they ran it through a paper shredder. It was just, I couldn't believe they had the audacity to put it back. And I said, "Well, this is an oversight. I'll take it back and get reimbursed for the merchandise that I paid them to clean that they've destroyed." I am very naive. I went and laid this stuff on the counter. The evidence, and the lady said, "Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Vaughn, but the fellow that takes care of this is unavailable." Okay. Well, when do you think he might be available? Now, after the fifth return visit, trying to get retribution, I begin to see a pattern emerging, and I begin to see they're out to beat me out of this. Now, you know what I did? I got mad. I know you cool, calm, phlegmatic Caucasian Republican women would never do this, but I was all upset. I was a bit out of shape. And I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to take out a newspaper advertisement. I'm going to warn the Roanoke Valley. It's a bunch of thieves over here at this, dry cleaning." And then I found out that was against the law. This is back when Clinton lied under oath and got reelected. And I can't tell the truth in a local news. Don't talk to me about freedom of speech. There is no such thing as freedom of speech. So I got even madder. I know you wouldn't. Then I thought, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna print up a handbill. Man, I'm gonna get a little handbill here. I'm gonna get out on the sidewalk, have on my holy breeches and my shredded tie, and I'm gonna hawk all the customers and say, "You don't want to go here. Look what they did to my look right here." Just like I had time for all of that. So I said, "Well, I can't do that." So I had to come up with a spiritual plan. So scripture memory is good. So I come up with that one: "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." So I was praying an imprecatory prayer. God, I pray you'd smite this place down. God, I pray you'd go after them. Burn it down in Jesus' name. Burn it down, Lord. Bunch of crooks over here. And every time I go into town, I know you wouldn't do that. I know you nice people wouldn't do this. But I believe what I pray, and I'd look over to see if there were smoldering embers, you know. God never did burn the place down, but they did go out of business. Glory be to God. But anyhow. Now, you got to quit trying to take the vengeance out, because that's not your place. How many know that God can sort it out? Does anybody ever get upset with God because his justice seems to be incredibly slow at times? And you just got to cast your burden. You got to roll that thing. You got to trust God. You got to hand it over and leave it there. Quit speculating about the prosperity of the wicked. How come they're prospering and we're struggling? And it's God's business to take care of it. Verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." That word "rest" means to be still and to be silent. Just be silent. Be still and know that I am God. Quit replaying the past in your minds. Don't be rattled. Stop rehearsing your hurt. Be still. That means to calm your mind. Rest in the Lord. A missionary was trying to come up with the word "faith" to translate into the national language, but in their language, he couldn't find an equivalent for the word "faith." One of the nationals came running across the miles. He was exhausted. He'd been running for hours, and he flopped himself in the missionary's chair, and he said this: "I'm resting all my weight on this chair. I'm resting all my weight on this chair." And the missionary knew he had the word for faith. Resting all our weight upon the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Just handing it over and just leaving it there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Rest all your weight on the Lord. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. So we ought to just trust God and leave it with him. Number four, the fret not formula. Put away evil. Put away evil. Look in verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. Walk away from evil. Stop it. Fretting is evil. Fretting is sin. Perennial anger is sin. And instead of doing evil, start doing good. 1 Thessalonians, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men." You look at the positive alternatives in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, "Rejoice evermore." Now, I got up this morning, I had two presents. Both my eyes opened up, amen. I had to get a little coffee, but thank God I woke up. You know what I'm saying? And just rejoice evermore. Listen, it's time for a little holy note of joy to hit some of our churches. I'm tired of going to stained glass coffins and stained glass graveyards, for crying out loud. I'm not for manipulating and trying to work up something. But brother, if the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and you're alive and well, you're vertical and ventilating, you ought to rejoice and give a little glory to God. Say amen right there. Where in the world's the joy of God in most of our churches anyhow? I mean, we act like God's dead, and here we are just a bunch of zombies. God help us rejoice evermore. Number two, pray without ceasing. Just pray without ceasing. When God calls you to pray, get on the Kubota and go to the backside of the property and get on your face and get on your knees and get on your feet and walk around and start praying and talking to God about what he's talking to you about. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, "Well, I got cancer." Thank God you don't have heart disease. You say, "Well, I got heart disease." Thank God you don't have cancer. You say, "Well, I got both." Thank God you're still alive. I mean, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. I have an announcement here this morning. We're all going to die unless the Lord returns. Isn't it amazing how the second coming is making a resurgence in churches because times are hard? Well, he's coming, but if he don't come, we're all going to kick the bucket at some point. So I have determined I want to live in faith. I want to live in gratitude. I want to live while I'm alive instead of worrying about what might happen. Quit worrying about the what ifs. Thank God for what is if you got some blessings here this morning. Quench not the spirit. Well, it's a replacement principle, right? Put away evil. Now listen to this, Ephesians 4. Put off of the former conversation, the old man. Put off the old man. That's not your husband, that's you. That's your old heart. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. What's that? That's the new nature, man. That's Christ in you. You know, most churches have a strong theology of depravity, but very few have a strong theology of victory. They remind you every time you go in the door what a tremendous sinner you are. Look, I know that your old nature is beyond hope. It's despicable beyond description. But if you're born again, you are not the old man. You got a new nature. You got a new name, and you got a new record, and you got a new heart because you've been born and you've been made partakers of the divine nature. Why in the world don't we talk about that sometimes in churches? I'm glad Reba's going to be on the Romans chapter 8. Praise God. Let's move beyond Romans 1 through 5. Let's get over in Romans 6 and figure out we've been crucified. But let's get over in Romans 8 and figure out we can walk in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Put off the old man. Put on the new. Quit lying. Start telling the truth. Quit being lazy. Start working. That's what it says in Ephesians. Now, when you take something out, you got to put something back. And when you return evil for evil, you're doing the same thing those people did to you. Have you noticed how the new tolerant crowd is just as intolerant of people on the right-hand side of the theological perspective as people on the right-hand side are critical of them. Have you noticed that? We're broad-minded. Well, you better not be empty-headed. And I'm telling you, don't do the same thing to others that somebody else did to you. Don't render evil for evil. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do what? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. My son went into an establishment and a man looked at him and said, you're a racist. My son is not a racist. Bless them that curse you. My son kept his mouth closed. He learned that from his mother. I was proud of it. Listen to this. Do good to them that hate you. 50% of our population hates our country. They're burning the Bible. They're burning the flag. And they want to burn the country down. Listen to what God says to us. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. By the way, if you think that after COVID everything's going to be normal, it's not. Our culture has changed dramatically. We've been asleep at the wheel. We didn't even know what was going on. Now it's becoming evident. So God's calling us to be Christians in an antagonistic culture and do good to them that despitefully use you. Depart from evil and do good. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Just because people treat you like the devil doesn't mean you have to reciprocate. All right, notice this final step in the fret not formula. Find your delight in God. Wow, find your delight in God. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the what? Oh, the desires of your heart. You can navigate the will of God through your sanctified desires. I believe that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're delighting yourself in God, what you want is what God wants. He gives you the desires in the first place, and he gives you the desires of your heart. I have an announcement here this morning. God is the happiest person in the entire universe. He's the angriest, but I'm telling you, he's also the happiest person in the entire universe. You say, well, what do you mean by that? In thy presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. God is the happiest person in the universe. He's a supremely happy God. And when we delight ourselves in him, when we find our happiness in him, when we find our joy in him, we learn to count our blessings. We learn how to thank God for our benefits. He's loaded us with benefits. Loaded us with benefits. I know some of y'all are going through hard times. And when you're going through hard times, you better turn up the worship protocol. You better turn up the singing protocol. You better turn up the gratitude protocol. You better get into the praise protocol, because if you don't, you're going to go down. I'm just telling you, delight yourself in the Lord and praise God for all your advantages. How many have some advantages here this morning? Lift your hands right here. How many are loaded up with benefits today? Lift up both hands like this right here. Just go like this right here. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. I mean, praise God. I mean, God has blessed us. Instead of dwelling on your losses, thank God for what you got left. Well, I've lost this. Well, what you got left? You got more left than you've lost. Listen to this. I've had more gains than losses. And I've known more joy than hurt. And His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. Oh, God's been good in our lives. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. You might be going through the worst time in your entire life right now. I want to tell you, it's temporary. This is not permanent. Things are looking up. And in heaven, thank God, no sickness, no suffering, no death, no cancer, no oncologist, no pharmaceuticals, no politicians. Glory be to God. It's going to be fantastic. I'm just telling you, it's going to be wonderful. And you have an eternal inheritance. Think about that a little bit. Think about that. If you're sick, thank God, well, at least over there, I won't have to take that stuff. No more chemo treatments for me. No more radiation. Praise God. No more of this stuff. No more operations. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Ah, brother, I'm just telling you, you have an eternal inheritance. I couldn't tell you how good it's going to be. Delight in the goodness of God. Find your joy in the Lord. Don't focus on the negative. Dwell on the goodnesses of God. God sustained us. He's allowed us to live this long. Isn't that amazing? Now, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. So, delight in God. Now, is anybody here tired of fretting? Anybody here tired of fretting? Any fretters here? Any worriers here? You know, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Anybody tired of the bondage of fretting? And by the way, does anybody here ever just turn the same stuff over in your mind all the time? Getting obsessed on minutia. Well, the guy didn't hook the plumbing up right. So here I am in the middle of the night trying to figure out how to put a drain in, and I don't have the foggiest idea what's going on. That's why when I get a medical problem, I'm working out in my mind how he's going to remove that particular defective organ, and I don't even know what the organ is or where it is, but I'm trying to work it out in my mind. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying right here? Quit it. Just quit it. It's none of our business. By the way, you better make God your health care provider. You better make Him your health care provider. And listen to this. I'll find your delight in God. And get beyond this fretting. Get preoccupied with the goodness of God. Let the high praises of God fill your mouth, sister. I'm telling you. Get happy in God. Don't sweat the small stuff. One man wrote a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S., it's all small stuff. The things that are troubling you today won't make any difference in 25 years. Can I say something to you? Sorrow and sadness are going to flee away. And if it's not going to make any difference in 50 years, 25 years, 10 years, or 5 years, what are we getting all bent out of shape about it right now? So I have to talk to myself. I said, Harold, you need to quit worrying about temporal things. So what, you got a leak back there? So what? It can be fixed. And if it doesn't get fixed, so what? In the scheme of things, what are you getting preoccupied about? Get out there and have a praise spell. And that's what we need to learn how to do. We got to turn. We got to turn ourselves toward God, delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, this morning, what are you angry about? Did your paint bucket turn over? What's going on? I mean, really, what's got you upset? Well, here's the way to get out of it, the fret not formula. Get over your anger by dealing with it. Commit your way to the Lord. That's an intentional commitment. Trust the Lord. Have confidence in God. Depart from evil and do good. Just don't look for redemption. Just start doing good. Delight in God. And God wants you to have an atmosphere of peace in your heart, in your home, and in your church. I believe that your home should be the happiest place in your community. The most peaceful place. We've had children. I really like children, you know. They come over to our house. And one kid was adopted. He came over and he was like two or three. And you know what he said? He said, "I like it here. I like it here." Had a teenager sitting on my front porch the other day. He had been helping us do some work, and we were just sitting there rocking back and forth, and he said, "I like this. I like this." We ought to work in making our homes pleasant, peaceful, happy places. Your church should be the most pleasant place in your town. Free from all of this animosity and anger. And I know we got to preach the truth, and I'm all about that. But your church ought to be the most pleasant place in town. And I'm telling you, some of y'all need to pray that God would give some of your leaders some courage to do right and to put out the cold water blanket committee needs to be put out of the church unless they repent in some cases. I'm just telling you. The stuff we tolerate in the name of grace is a disgrace. And can I just say something to you? Our churches should be the most attractive, pleasant places in town. And that's why sinners don't come to our churches, because they know we don't like them. It isn't all about denim skirts and getting your hair cut and having on a starched white shirt. Get the Hawaiian shirt out, amen? That's why I'd be in favor of that. But we had a fella helping us do some work. Hair down here, ponytail, you know. Smokes all the time. Says a few words. I've said worse. And so we invited him to have dinner with us. So Debbie cooked a great meal. I bet he hadn't had a home-cooked meal, and I don't know when. So we just sat there listening. He's telling us about his children by however many women, right? He's just pouring his heart out. We're not sitting there condemning him. We're sitting there listening to him, loving him. He asked me to pray for him. Put my hand on his shoulder. I prayed the blessing of God over him. And you know what? God wants us to be attractive in a lost world that's so tore up and so messed up. We ought to have the peace of God, the calm of God, the presence of God upon us to where we can minister. Is anybody with me on this point right here? It ain't the will of God for our churches to sit around with a holy huddle of 50 people for the next 1,000 years. That ain't the will of God. We're on mission here. And if we get this fret thing worked out, God can help us. Amen. Now, I'm over the paint bucket now, okay? You need to get over your paint bucket. You need to get over it. And here's the formula to do it, right? So God can help us to find our delight in him. Now, notice the text says, "Fret not because of evildoers." There's plenty of them. "Fret not because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." "Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Get beyond your anger. Commit your way to God. Trust the Lord. Put away evil and find your delight in the Lord." The fret not formula. Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.